either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com. Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وكان الله بكل شيء عليما صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, we have been covering the names and the titles that are given to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the Quran and also in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the last few sessions we looked into the name Muhammad and Ahmad and Mahmud, another name that is given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the name Al-Mahi. Al-Mahi. And Mahi in the Arabic language means to wipe out something or to erase something. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, يَمْحُ اللَّهُ بِي الْكُفْرِ يَمْحُ اللَّهُ بِي الْكُفْرِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through me, as in Allah has selected me, and by me Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will erase kufr, will erase unbelief. Kufr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will erase that. Now generally that is the mission that is given to all of the prophets, Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam, but especially to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he is Khatamun Nabiyyin, that he is the last from all of the prophets that came, and there is no Nabi that will come after him. Remember, the last Nabi from amongst the Banu Israel is Jesus, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He is the last from amongst all of the Banu Israel. And after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam, there is no other Nabi that will come. Now, if you look into the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, a man who was born in Makkah Mukarrama, in those days, people were not even interested in the Arabian Peninsula. People were not even interested. Besides, of course, the locals and the Arabs that would trade in the city of Makkah, and which was a line from Makkah Mukarrama to Syria, and convoys and caravans would be traveling from one end to another. But generally, that thirst, as we have seen for many of the kings who would want to invade and take on foreign lands and territories, they showed no interest in the Arabian Peninsula at all. And in this very remote area as such, one man, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was born in Makkatul Mukarramah. Subhanallah al-Azim. And if you go back, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was given this honor to build the house of Allah, Baytullah Sharif, with his son. And at that time, he preserved the importance of Tawheed there. So all of them, mashallah, were people who followed the teachings of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. In, I believe that one of our sessions I had explained how polytheism actually crept in and got into the Arabian Peninsula. So we won't repeat that. But then slowly idolatry and shirk started even in the city of Makkah Mukarrama. Subhanallah, amazing. And so you had idols. You had idols that were standing around the Kaaba. And then you had hundreds of idols that were inside the Kaaba. So outside and inside. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had to see this. What, for 53 years of his stay in Makkah Mukarrama. So these were people who were not prepared to remove the religion of their forefather. Not at all. That is why in one narration it comes that, and this is going back in the very early days of Nabuwat, that Jibreel Amin came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and with, subhanallah, the wing of Noor and light, he lowered the wing touching the ground and there was water that came out. And in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did wudu and also prayed namaz. And then he said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to invite your people, to Islam. Invite your people to Islam. That is why we live in this country. This is our country. Not India. Ab India wo hamara nahi hai bhai. Don't even dream. This is your country. And we have to invite and we have to educate people. By educating people, by explaining to them about Islam, explaining to them of the great seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, people will understand. Allah's Nabi was said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him that invite your people. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the beginning found that very difficult. So he said, Jibreel, you know my people, how hard they are. And for generations they have worshipped these idols. And so Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam has said, this is the order that is given by Allah and be firm. Be firm. And do sabr. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood up and he went to the people and he said to them, I declare in front of you that you should only worship one God and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a Hashimi, was a Qurayshi, was one from amongst them who was also respected. And so they said to him, O Muhammad, we don't even understand what you speak, the statement that you have uttered, what is that? You say that we worship Allah. Who is Allah? And that is why also Suratul Ikhlas was revealed. Kul huwa Allahu Ahad. When they said to him, can you tell us who is Allah? Aliyazu billah. They said to him, is this Allah you talk of made of iron, metal, lead, wood? Because this is what they would worship. They would worship the idols. So we want to know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been made, aliyazu billah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed, kul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. And so anyway, they said to him, I think that you are not well, that you are suffering, maybe depressed. And if you are ill, then we will cure you, we will treat you. If you are possessed, we will also treat you. If you are looking for wealth, we will give you wealth. You are one of us. We will give you whatever you want. But don't rock the boat. Leave it how it is. We don't want anything. We don't want a revolution here. You just do whatever you have to do. Don't rock the boat. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, I am adamant you worship only Allah. And they got together and Aliyazu billah, what they did is that they started throwing stones at him, and they became very, very violent against Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter they left him, and Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam came, and Jibreel was there. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Jibreel, "Jibreel, you see what my people have done to me." And so Jibreel said, "Even then, do sabr, go again, and invite them to Allah." The mission of a Nabi is a very difficult mission, my respected brothers. Very, very difficult. Very difficult. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. So the next day Allah's Nabi went back to them again. The next day again for the second time they started pelting stones at him, hitting him, aliyazu billah, harming him. And this time it is said that there was a ring around him of the unseen creation of Allah, the angels that were there and had covered Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the mushrikeen could not see that. And so this is mentioned in the kitab of Asma'un Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so they were hitting him for the second time. Again Jibreel said, "Again go to them. You have to speak to them about Tawheed." So for the third time, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to them. Again, no results, none of them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Jibreel, "Send down the angels of the clouds. Send down the angels of the winds. Send down the angels of the oceans. Send down all the angels and make it musakhar, give it to, let them be subservient to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and tell Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, however you want them to be punished, the angels will fulfill your command. If you want them to be destroyed by the winds, it will be done. If you want them to be drowned, it will be done. If you want them to be killed by a thunderbolt, it will be done. However," and then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted up his hands, and he said, "Jibreel, no, Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. These are my people and they have no knowledge. And I am not going to make a dua against them. I will not supplicate against them." And so from this we learn that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions went through a very, very, very difficult patch. It was very difficult for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what we mean, that through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has removed kufr. Allah has removed kufr. And then this happened when he came back from Madinatul Munawwara and when Makkah Mukarrama was conquered. And remember when he conquered Makkah Mukarrama, he had a stick, an asa, like this. And when he saw the idols that were there, when he saw the idols, he was not like the leaders of today, always wanting to compromise and fearing insan. They feared Allah. Who did they fear? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But ultimately, of course, power comes from Allah. What is the meaning of wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah? What is the meaning of that? There is one very beautiful hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if the whole world was to get together to harm you, no harm can come to you but only that what Allah has decreed for you. And if the whole world was to give you benefit, no benefit, your own father can't benefit you but only that much that Allah has decreed for you. Because everything happens by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your reliance is upon Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist you. And so he would point towards all these idols that were outside Kaaba, Sharif and the Haram and Mataf, and they were falling down. And then he went inside the Kaaba, and again the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was completely purified. Was completely. And it is purified, alhamdulillah, until today. Until that is why you will see that in Saudi Arabia, there is a very hard stance that people take when it comes to Tawheed. What is it? When it comes to Tawheed, as in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, they take a very, very strong stance. And this comes because from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the difficulty that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through, that his mission is that he is mahi. What is he? Mahi. And mahi means that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through him kufr will be erased. Now, subhanallah, if you look throughout the world, this one man born in Makkah Mukarramah, but Islam spreads in every direction. Islam has spread in every direction. Just recently, there was this article, a clip that was sent to me, that the first masjid is being built towards the very northern part of England, and it's an island, completely on the top part where it's a Scottish island, right on the top, and towards the western part of UK from the top. Saint, kya naam hai uska? Isles of Lewis. Isles of Lewis. The Isles of Lewis. And there are only 18,000 people living there, and these are devout, strong Christians. Very, very strong Christians. And only 18,000 Christians that are there, strong Christians. And in fact, the priest that was there, he was saying that, you know, I myself don't accept Islam. And, you know, there's no similarity between Islam and Christianity. Though, of course, there is great similarity between Judaism and Islam. Between Judaism and Islam. That is why, of course, the main issue is what's happening in Palestine. That is the only issue. But if you have a look at history, Muslims and Jews have always lived side by side. They have always lived side by side. Because they've never taken anybody else as Aliyazu Billah, the son of God, or they worshipped one God and they took everybody as the prophets, and there was that similarity between Islam. But of course, that priest was saying that, you know, we should not tolerate Muslims here, but the first masjid is being built. How about that? The first masjid is being built. Iceland. Anyway, think about Iceland. Iceland. It must be a good place to visit. In 1971, there were only 4 Muslims there. How many? 4 Muslims. In the year 2013, they counted, there were more than 500 Muslims in Iceland. Why? Why this rapid spread of Iman and Islam? Because of the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what a beautiful hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Antamim iddari radiyallahu ta'ala an. And remember, Tamim iddari is that sahabi. We talked about him, a great sahabi who speaks about the signs of the day of Qiyamah. And there is, of course, a group of people that had seen Dajjal in the hadith that is mentioned. So, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَيَبْلُغَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ مَا بَلَغَ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ. What a beautiful hadith. This deen, this religion of mine, will certainly reach every place that is touched by the day and night. It will reach everywhere that is touched by the day and night. That is why Vasco da Gama, when he was going around the Cape of Hope, round southern tip of South Africa, and how the Muslims actually entered, how they got to Cape Town and all the languages that are there. It is fascinating. Kabhi inshallah we'll look into that history and how Africa actually opened up. In fact, Vasco da Gama, the maps that he was using and the person that he had taken to guide him through that region was a Muslim. Kya tha? Was a Muslim. And this is documented. So Muslims have, mashallah, been everywhere. Muslims have been. That is why in Cape Town there is a masjid called Masjidul Awwal. Masjidul. The first masjid that opened up. The first masjid that opened up. Our first masjid in Leicester, which one was it? Ji? And also Masjid Noor. I nearly got scared there what you said. Masjid Noor. Yeah. Masjid Noor. Jay isne right ka hai wo mushtaq. Masjid Noor and Sadalin Mosque. Sadalin Mosque. But now Sadalin Mosque is with ab to wo Masjid Noor ko hi hum dekhte hain. Kya dekhte hain? Let's look at Masjid Noor because we are very clever people. You see, very clever people. So that's our problem. So this matter, this deen will certainly reach every place touched by the night and the day. Now, the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا يَتْرُكُ اللَّهُ بَيْتَ مَدَرٍ وَلَا وَبَرٍ. Ajeeb. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure that Islam enters every home that is made out of mud or hair. As in, any kind of a house, be it a fantastic residence, Allah Ta'ala will not leave a house or residence except that Allah will cause the religion of Islam to enter in it. And then he says, by which the honorable will be honored and the disgraceful will be disgraced. Allah will honor the honorable with Islam and will disgrace the disgraceful one with kufr. So it is a choice. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ. Allah has created. There are some people who choose kufr. So that is up to you. And there are some people who choose iman. And alhamdulillah, these are people who are very, very successful. Now, Islam has spread everywhere. Where is it? Islam has spread everywhere. Let me just go over a list of Muslim countries. So at least our youth can understand and see that how many Muslims we are in numbers. So we are looking at Muslim countries in which Muslims are more than 50%. Muslims are more than 50%. So we'll start in the alphabetical order. A for Afghanistan. A for Afghanistan, Albania, Algeria, Azerbaijan, Bahrain. Imagine, Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam. All of these countries have opened up to Islam. Azerbaijan, Bahrain, Bangladesh, Bosnia, Herzegovina, Brunei, Burkina Faso, I don't even know how to pronounce some of them, Chad, Cocos Island, Comoros, and Yeto, Cote de Lover, kya naam hai iska? How do you even pronounce that? In Africa, and Djibouti, not even, Djibouti, Egypt, Eritrea, Ethiopia has got 34%. What is it? Anything that's under 50, I've just written it. Ethiopia has 34% because Muslims went there for Habasha. Gambia, Guinea. So you have Guinea-Conakry, Guinea-Bissau. And then you have Indonesia, Iran, Iraq, Jordan, Kazakhstan, Kosovo, Kuwait, Kyrgyzstan is different. Lebanon, Libya, Macedonia has 33%. Malaysia, Maldives, Mali, Mauritius, Mauritania, Mayotte, Morocco, Niger, Nigeria, Oman, Pakistan, Palestine, the Palestinian territories, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Senegal, Sierra Leone, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, Tajikistan, Tanzania has got 35%. Tanzania has got 35%, which is quite a surprise. Tunisia, Turkey, Turkmenistan, United Arab Emirates, and then Uzbekistan, Western Sahara, and Yemen. So many countries, as Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam said, that Islam will enter every household. So we are, alhamdulillah, a majority. I'm not even sure about these statistics that Muslims are only 1.6 billion and that Christianity is much more than the Muslims. Wallahu alam. Personally, I don't accept that. That is my opinion. Personally, I don't accept that. And the reason for that is very simple. The reason why I don't accept that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. They wish to extinguish the nur of iman, as in they wish to extinguish the nur of Allah, which is Islam, بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ, with their mouths, media and everything. وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ, and Allah wants to complete this nur, وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ, even if the disbelievers dislike it. And then Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ, It is He, Allah, who has sent His Rasul, bil huda, with guidance, wa deen il haq, and the religion of the truth. And then Allah says, liyudhhirahu ala deen kulli. Allah will make sure that Islam prevails upon every other religion. Liyudhhirahu ala deen. Islam will come on top of every other religion. Walau kariha al mushrikun. Allah saying, even if the mushrikeen don't like that. So this is the fitrah, this is the nature of Islam. Islam has to spread. Islam has to spread. Subhanallah al-Azim. That is why, in fact, Mr. Ahmad Didad would do a fantastic translation here with this ayat. He'd say, Islam will bulldoze everything. What did he say? That is his words. I remember him. In the 80s, we went to the Royal Albert Hall to see this incredible personality. May Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus. We were very young at 80s. So we went to see him, early 80s, Royal Albert Hall. And there was a Christian lady who started to cry at question answer time and said, Mr. Didat, you know, I have respect for you, but how you speak of Jesus, you know, I want to cry. So, if, you know, when somebody cries and a lady cries, you probably want to pamper her and say, look, take it easy. But Mr. Didat was something else. He said, my sister, what you are doing now, crying, this is nothing. You will cry more when you die. You will cry more when you die. Listen to me. Your savior is not Jesus. Your savior is Muhammad Mustafa. In the Royal Albert Hall. What did he say? Your savior is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi. He is the Nabi. He is the Nabi and there is no way out. You can cry, you can scream, you can pull your hair out, you can do whatever you want to do. The truth is this. This is the truth. And why is it the truth? Because of the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man sami'a bi min ummati, the one who has heard about me after my presence, after me coming in this dunya, from my ummat, aw yahudiyun, even if he's a Yahud, as in, if a man who is not a Muslim and he's a Yahudi, and he's heard about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aw nasraniyun, or a Christian who has heard about me, falam yu'min bi, and if he does not bring iman upon me, lam yadkhulil jannah, he shall never enter Jannah. Shall never enter. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ, in another narration, ثُمَّ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِي, and if they don't bring iman upon me, إِلَّا دَخَلَ النَّارِ, they will enter Jahannam. They will enter Jahannam. This is the nabuwat. This is, subhanallah, the nabuwat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Say to them, O people, O humanity, I have been sent as a nabi to all of you. So much so, ulama have mentioned, that even in the animal kingdom, the animals have iman upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That even the animals believe in him and take him to be the Nabi of Allah. This is the nabuwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so his duty was to wipe out, what is it? Kufr. And this is what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And mashallah, you see that iman and Islam has entered in every part of the world. And Islam, you see, every act of Islam, very, very careful we have to be. When we read our janazah namaz, we don't do ruku and sujood. What is it? We don't do ruku and sujood. In case it was to open the door of shirk. Because you have the janazah in front of you, and if you do ruku and sujood, somebody might think that we are doing ruku and sujood of this pious Maulana Sahib who has passed away. Or this great wali of Allah who has passed away. So we are doing ruku and sajda day. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken out ruku and sujood from the very salah, namaz, khatam. Only for takbir, stand and pray. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, bas. That's it. And make dua. No ruku and no sujood. When you come to the masjid, and when you look at the masjid, even when it comes to designing the masjid, you have to be very, very careful. You can't have too much colors that is going to be a means of distraction for you. What is it? A means of So that when you are reading salah, it is hitting you in the face and you are being disturbed. So you will find especially the Qibla wall to be very simple. The only thing you will find is the ayats of the Quran. Why also? That we don't allow shirk in the masjid. What is it? Shirk in the masjid. That is why imam's back you are facing. The imam's back you are facing. Subhanallah al-Azim. So in Islam we see that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shut the door of kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shut the door of kufr. Now why I say that majority of the people and Islam is spreading in every direction, alhamdulillah, that is also our duty and we should be imparting iman and Islam to people. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says on the day of qiyamah, 120 rows will be going to Jannat. How many rows will be going to Jannat? 120 rows. There will be 120 safs, on the day of Qiyamah. And from 120, 80 safs belong to me. How many safs belong to me? 80 safs, rows belong to my ummah. I'm not talking about going to Jannat. I mean on the day of Qiyamah, there will be 120 rows. And 80 rows, saf, the sufuf, will be of my ummah. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah, his main mission will be to remove the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the rest of the crowd. And he will be saying, no, put him here, put him here, put him here. My ummati, my ummati, my ummati, my ummati, my, this is my ummati. Put him here, put him here. The rest will be on one side. My ummat will be 80 safs. The most. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tazawwajul wadud al-walud. Get married to that lady who will give you more children. Get married to that lady who will give you more children. How do you know before marrying how many children you will get? Look at the father. Look at her brothers and sisters. If she has got plenty of brothers and sisters, there is inshallah hope that you will also be given plenty of children. The more children. Allah's Nabi said, فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمَ الْأُمَمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. I will take great pride in seeing that my ummah is the highest in numbers. It will be the highest in all the numbers as compared to every Nabi. So the greatest ummah is the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as far as Basharat goes of Jannat, as far as Basharat goes to about Jannat, 2/3 of the people in Jannat will be of the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah. How honored we are. That is why, my respected brothers, let us not be deceived. Let us not turn towards kufr. Let us turn back to Islam. Be very proud. What Allah Pak has given us, subhanallah. And what these people have got. For 1 minute, if you were to spend time with them and their suffering, and you will see, alhamdulillah, what Allah has given is great ni'mah. In another hadith, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, 70,000 of my ummah will enter Jannah without hisab kitab. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ya Allah, I want more. What did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? I want more. Shafa'at he's doing. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, oh my Nabi, for you, from the 70,000, with every one of the 70,000, another 70,000 you will take. Can you imagine that? Subhanallah. And so Islam will spread. Islam will spread. Our duty is that we should be also important tools in giving da'wah to the non-Muslims. This is very important. If 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people embrace Islam through us, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us all, our whole family ticket to Jannah, bhai. Isne bahut kaam kiya. These are the works of Anbiya. These are the works of Anbiya. Only if you could study and understand the sacrifice the Imams had done in what we know as Cape Town today, and the Muslims that came from Malaysia, Indonesia, that part of the region, India, Sri Lanka, and when they came, and that struggle. And that entire region that had accepted Islam, that effort, subhanallah, of promoting Iman and Islam, this is great ni'mah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, my respected brothers. Today, alhamdulillah, in families, We are Muslims. There are people today, bichara, that the son is Muslim and he is crying, Maulana, make dua, my mother can become a Muslima, that she can be with me in Jannah. My father becomes a Muslim, that he can be with me in Jannah. Today we are, as families, all Muslims. That is the great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me end the session by one hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, U'titu khamsan. Allah has given me five things. Bu'ithtu ila al-ahmari wal-aswad. Allah has sent me to the people who are red, to the people who are black, to the people who are brown. As in, I am the Nabi for everyone. وَجُعِلَتْ لِي الْأَرْضِ مَسْجِدًا تَهُورًا. And for me, Allah has made the earth a masjid and a pure place. For Banu Israel, if they wanted to pray, they could only pray in a masjid. They could only pray in a masjid. They could not pray outside. But for this ummah, the concession is that you can pray anywhere. In the grass, in the park, wherever you are. Anyway, this earth is your musalla. This earth is your musalla. So you can pray anyway. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, this ni'mah is given to me. Wa uhillat li al-ghanaim. Allah has made the male ghanimat, the booty during the time of war, the wealth that is taken, halal for me. Wa nusirtu bil ru'bi shahran. And Allah's Nabi said, such is my persona that people fear me at a distance of 1 month. The ru'b, and that and the personality of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that at the distance of 1 month, people fear Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he said the main thing, wa'utitu shafa'a. Allah has given me shafa'at, intercession. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is al-mahi, the one who removes kufr, and we should also free ourselves from every kind of kufr, inshallah ta'ala. Inshallah, if you can just close your eyes for 1 or 2 minutes and do muraqabah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.